Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start off with the voice of Yamato. This is episode 29, 30, 31, something. Something like that. Doesn't matter too much. As you all know, this is the most scuffed podcast on the planet. So it is what it is. 2-0 week for Fnatic, the first one of the summer split. We went 2-1, 1-1, and now 2-0. Which brings us up to a total tally of 5-2, which puts us at a shared first place together with Rouge and XXXL shop for plus-sized people. That makes three teams in the top. God bless them. Different strengths, different teams all together, obviously. I think it's funny, because for those who don't know, I did a Euphoria bet with Vedias and Cathedral, the first of his name, and hopefully also the last of his name, Cathedral. We said, who is going to be after week three, who's going to be top three? That was our bet that we did the handshake on. And whoever was wrong just needs to do a cold plunge. And the reason I agreed to it is because I literally don't care about the cold. It's like, I'm fucking Iron Man. You know, I am a big fan of Wim Hof. Cold water is a part of my daily life. But I wasn't going to tell them that, you know? It's like one of the, when you say, oh, you want to do a spicy food challenge, and then you just love spicy food, and then you just see them suffering, or you invite your homies to drink shots, and you spend Christmas with Russian relatives, so you just have the belly of, you know, a belly of iron. So, all in all, this is what I set them up for, and it turned out that I was very right. Very, very right. Predicting top three, you know, first 3 weeks is a bit of a flip, you know, because best of ones are troll and you don't know what kind of form people are going to bring, and Super Week is also quite deceptive, you know, in terms of what, it's deceptive in terms of what the meta can be, because we're always playing, in a lot of cases, we're playing one patch ahead of the other regions. So sometimes we can be caught lacking, and so yeah, no, we have less information to work with generally, right? So it was always tricky in the first Super Week. All in all, we are heading into a break week. So for those who are curious, you know, we don't have any matches. The next time you guys are going to see us is going to be against Misfits on a Friday in 2 weeks. So basically, next week we're going to play on Friday. And then, of course, on Saturday, we're going to play against my old team, Vitality. Misfits went 2-0. Not going to disrespect them, you know, the comeback kings. Viteo found his Corki buttons. Neon. I met Neon at a Mad Lions party. So Mad Lions had some LEC after party. And Neon, wasn't so happy that I put him in the Jinx box. Because he won some games on, I believe, Kaiser and Ezreal. And he wanted to make that clear to me. Bro, I can play other shit than just Jinx. It's funny, sometimes, you know, I just share my opinions on Euphoria. And I would never think in a million years that the players that I'm talking about are just sitting there and listening to it, you know. But I put him and Comp and a bunch of other ADs in the Jinx box, you know. That a lot of ADs that shouldn't look as good. They looked a lot better in spring due to the circumstance of the champions and the eye test being a little bit more deceptive because of how just lethal tempo worked and just how the AD carry meta was. And Neon came to me to make the point. Yo, I won with other champs and Jinx. You want the smoke, man? You want the smoke? Which was fine, you know? I get it. It's easy to forget sometimes, you know? It's like, I'm just giving my opinion, and my opinion doesn't necessarily need to be right, you know? Like, if I give my opinion about you, it's like, you do as you please with it, you know? And I could be wrong, because my access to information is limited, but all in all, you know, in the end, Like if you come down and talk to me, I'm always going to be polite to you and I'm going to be respectful towards you, because in the end, you know, I understand that everyone that works in esports and is playing in the LEC is putting in the hours, you know, and that's what it is, you know. Some crazy thing happened, you know, after basically last night, I came home pretty late, and right in front of my gate, okay, right in front of my gate, there was a person injecting what I believe to be crack into their arm. And that was not a good look. And me, you know, 3 a.m. in the night, this person is really jittery, you know, kind of like, you know, have you guys ever seen Hitler at the Olympics? Basically how he's like tweaking, because I believe he was on meth or some shit. Like, have you guys seen that video? That video is a crazy one. I don't know why I had to bring up, I don't know why I had to bring up Hitler, but that's like the main thing that, you know, comes to my mind when I think of someone that really is like tweaking really fucking hard. That was the first example that came to mind. But nevertheless, this person was just injecting, and I just said, hello, like it's 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. and I just say, hey, because I just want to be polite, you know, like I'm passing by, right, there's a dark alley, I'm just being polite, hello. And they like look at me, it's like, hey, and I just kept walking. I was just polite, hey, hello. I can look quite intimidating in the night. You know, I have my hoodie on. I'm a large dude. I don't want to be like intimidating. It's the same as like, if I'm walking around at 4 a.m. in the night, you know, and I see, let's say, like someone that doesn't look as let's say, like I have. If you don't know me and I'm walking like 4 in the night, it could be maybe intimidating, right? And so I try to accommodate that, you know, I don't want to intimidate anyone, you know, I would never do anything, but on top of that, I don't want to intimidate someone. It's the same as like if someone like let's say there's a like a lady walking at night, you know, I make sure to walk on the other side of the street, you know, I don't want to intimidate anyone, you know, this is at least what my instinct tells me to do, you know, it's like I don't want to. It would be like, I don't want to intimidate someone. So it's like this person sitting there in the dark. Like, I don't want to scare this person because, like, he hears me walk past him. I just say, hello. You know, it's just being polite. So I just say hello to this person doing crack. And that's their business. But the weird thing was, this person was doing crack. So basically, I saw, like, this bag of clothes always, like next to the door of my apartment, and I just thought that someone left it or something, but this person was digging in this bag of clothes. Like, this person just decided to make this right in front of my apartment their hideout for their clothes. So they were digging in the clothes and doing crack, and they had like really a crack look, like a really, you know how their skin texture looks like how you could imagine the moon to look like? It's like gray and all lumpy and shit, you know, it's not a good look. And every time I arrive late at night, like 3, 4 a.m. At home, I always have a story. It's crazy. It's like one time me and Ivan, right, we arrived home late at night, and he's 480p. Yes, it's 480p. It was probably their home, yeah, potentially. It's quite crackhead. So me and Ivan arrive 3, 4 a.m. in the night, and there's a cat. This cute, adorable cat, you know, same thing. We don't want to intimidate the cat. If the cat comes to us, we greet him, say hello, erstmal guten Tag, pet him on the head, pet him under the chin a little bit, say hello, move on, you know? But this cat was very friendly. You know, with those really, really friendly types, they walk up to you, they brush up on your legs and so forth. They want attention. Okay, this is an adorable cat. We are okay. We pet it. We give it some attention. And then we're okay. It's 4 a.m. We begin to walk towards apartment. So first, Basically, we have this apartment complex, which is first you enter this area, like a closed area, a garden kind of, and you have to open the gate with the key. And then you have to enter our building, which is another key. And then in the building, you enter the apartment, right? So we are entering the gated area. And this cat follows us, right? This cat follows us. And we're like, what's really happening here? Like, this cat is following us. Okay, let's just see what it does. Let's walk to our apartment. We open the first door to our apartment, and the cat just runs in. We're like thinking, okay, maybe the cat lives here. Maybe the owner of the cat just forgot to let him in or something, and that's final, you know? All right, no problem. I put the door open. I keep it open. I push it all the way to make sure that the cat can leave whenever he wants to, right, in this apartment complex thing. And we live on the sixth floor, so we begin to climb up. And this cat just continues following us, still cutting our legs, still wants, like, belly scratches and whatever, is following us all the way. We go to the sixth floor. And me and Ivan were like, there's no way in hell. Like, we can't just take a cat home. It doesn't make sense for us to take a cat home. So we make sure we enter, and then the cat stays outside. And this cat is just meowing. It's just meowing for legit 1 hour, meowing outside a door. And it's breaking my heart, man. I keep saying, Ivan, we can't let the cat be like this, you know? I'm thinking to myself, it's like, I need to make some kind of plan here. I'm going to bring him in. He gets to sleep inside one night. It was like storm outside, raining outside. I thought, he sleeps here one night. I take care of him. I get him some cat food from the Speti, which is like a 24-hour shop. And then I bring him to a vet. The first thing when it opens, I go to the vet, check if it's a chipped, and then I just check if he's vaccinated and whatever, and then I figure out the plan from that point, right? Because this cat didn't have the thing around its neck, which is common, right? Because some cats can get stuck in some places, so usually some cats are chipped to find awareness of the whereabouts of the cat. I don't think it's a GPS chip. I think it's just 5G. No, I'm just kidding. Nevertheless, eventually the meowing stops. So this meowing continues for like 1 hour straight. It's just meow, meow, meow. It's like really loud meows. And then the meowing stops. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm just going to open the door and check what the cat is doing. And this cat is sleeping on a doormat. He's just sleeping on our doormat. And then I'm like, Ivan, we need to let this cat in. So I open the door. The cat comes in. And the cat is going ballistic. This cat is having the time of his life. He's just jumping everywhere, pushing down vases and shit. He's just enjoying himself to the max. He's just all over the place. You know, he's just enjoying his life. He's just jumping all over the place, every location that he can go to, on the furniture, on the benches, everywhere. It's like I hung up clothes that I washed right. He's just climbing on the thing, and he's like wobbly and shit because he's like, that thing is not robust at all, right? And he's just enjoying the shit out of himself, and he's like, Ivan is in game, and the cat is like climbing on top of Ivan, and then the cat just begins to fucking bite his mouse cable. I'm like, no, I just have to pick him up. I gave him the name Zeus. I gave this cat the name Zeus because we found him in the night, right, while it was thundering. So I'm like, Zeus, Zeus, what are you doing, Zeus? I just call him Zeus. Then eventually he calms down, he's sitting on the bench, and then he just lies down on Ivan's PC table, keeps biting cables. I pick him up. I'm like, okay, Ivan, I'm going to go to the Speti, I'm going to buy some cat food, okay? And then I left the door open just to see what the cat does, right? Because maybe the cat just wanted some attention and he pieces out. But then this cat, when I'm going to the Speti, he just follows me. Bro, I'm going for a walk with Zeus. So I'm walking, 4 a.m. in the night, I'm walking with a cat. It's like, if someone told me the story, it sounds like a fucking Ghibli movie. This cat is just following me. He's exploring things on the way. I make sure to make sounds with my keys. So basically, I wanted them to recognize where I was. So always when we walked, I made sounds with my keys. So I thought my shoe sound can be very similar to anyone else's shoe sounds. And I don't think cats are like that insane in terms of their hearing, so they can understand who's walking and like just memorize how my shoes sound like. So I just made sure wherever I walked, I made noise with my keys. So I go for a 20-minute walk with this cat. Then eventually, he just jumps into somewhere where I can't go. So basically, another gated like apartment area. He goes there. I wait for like a solid 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, Zeus, you chill here. And then I'm going to go and see what's up. I go to like six different Spätkaus in the rain. I'm completely drenched, right? I finally find a place that sold some dry food, some wet food too. I bought it. Shit quality, but whatever. At least it's something for him to eat. I bought it. And then I go back to the location where he walked away, right? I wait there for 30 minutes in the rain. And then I said, okay, it is what it is. Zeus, if you need backup, you know I'm your homie. And I just went home. I put the cat food in the kitchen, and that's it. And I've met Zeus one more time, but it was in the middle of the day, and he was busy chasing something. So I just said, "Hey Zeus, what's up?" And then he just ran off into like a forest. And I'm like, "I'm not gonna fuck. I'm going to work. I'm not gonna follow Zeus into a forest." So as long as he's cool, you know, and I could see him once in a while, I'm happy. But it was just, you know, we arrived 3 a.m., 4 a.m. home, and this was just too funny to me, you know. It's like, God bless him. I wonder if I can show you guys a video. Fresh Banana, thank you very much. Let me see if I can find a video of Zeus. This is Zeus. This is so cute, man. Look at that. That's so cute, man. I don't know, my animals really enjoy me. Look at the one. This is the best. It does look pretty healthy. Agreed, right? I have another video actually. Look, I met this hedgehog. This hedgehog was trying to climb under the fence, but he just didn't know how to do it. I met this hedgehog like 4 in the night. I feel bad for him. He just couldn't get under the fence. Very cute. Girl, I'm standing next to a mountain. I chop it down with the edge of my axe. A girl I'm standing next to. Felt bad for us to decide to film it. Yeah, what else should I do? I don't have anything else to do. What else should I do? Let me show you guys one more video. We were at the casino, right? And me and Marek, we just put 50 euro into the same machine and we just decided to spin together. Bro, there was this old lady, like this Thai woman that was next to us, who was so tilted that we won so much money. She was so angry, man. So pissed. She was so pissed. She was so angry, man. She was so pissed. And then, bro, she was so pissed. She had like played the whole night there, you know. She was doing her low spins. And then these rejects, you know. Me, Ivan, Chris, our manager, and Marek, we are pressing the button together as four. We are so stupid. We are like pressing the button together as four. And we just look like complete rejects. And then we just get a jackpot win. And then the casino guy, he's like, you have to delete that video right now. You have to delete the video. You have to delete the video. We're going to take your money away. I'm like, okay, we're deleting the video. Fucking relax, bro. Fucking deleting the video, man. The guy who basically, if you win too much money on slots, the casino needs to deliver it to you, and they deliver it to you on the silver platter. They like the guy comes on the silver platter and then presents you the money, and that's a good feeling too, man. But man, I have that cash, so basically, usually, like who carries that much cash around? So I have a fucking stack of 1,000 euro that is on my table, but the only thing that stack of money does is remind me to fucking go gambling again. And gambling is so stupid. It's the dumbest shit ever, right? Gambling is so stupid. For me, the way I see gambling is I am paying for entertainment. So you get 80% Mark 20. Well, I came there with some cash, right? And then I went positive. And then I played some Book of Ra too, and I entered the tomb and I doubled. Easiest way to become poor, yes. It's like, there's so many psychological factors. It's not only that the odds are against you, and with time, it's designed to put you in a position where you lose. It is also that you have so many psychological factors working against you. Because it's designed in a very deceptive and destructive way. Would you ever bet on sports or esports particularly? Well, I'm not allowed to bet on esports, right? So I wouldn't do that. But betting on sports, sometimes I have, just to make it more interesting, you know? Just like throw some 50 euro on like John Jones beating DC. Just to make it, you know, just a little bit more exciting, right? All right, so I asked people, what are we talking about? XL Nelson wrote, why should Armut Lol and Niski move to NA next year, and why should it be 100 Thieves? They should definitely move so I can win during Poker Night. Yuri, do you have an idea why esports is more popular in some countries than in others? I think it depends just on how culturally accessible the internet is, and how easy it is to have like computers, and how big of a business just having PC bungs and so forth. Just access is usually like the biggest thing. It's like Korea has had very good infrastructure revolving around the internet and so forth, and they had a very, elaborate culture around how the PC bangs worked, and StarCraft boomed there. And I'm not sure about the history of Korea in terms of what was before StarCraft, but I think this definitely invites it a lot, right? It's like I can see a world where, let's say, there is a time where India modernizes and they have a lot more access to internet, and the baseline for what it means to be poor raises higher and higher, and the basic necessities become fulfilled. Maybe India becomes a dominant force. It's just a question of, you know, population size, infrastructure, and culture, as someone mentioned in the chat. That's my take, at least. For example, in Sweden, it was very culturally acceptable to play games. Parents are, generally speaking, very liberal. Infrastructure in terms of internet was very good. And then we had a lot of, you know, strong personalities that also paved the way. I think that also helps, right? Like, we had a lot of successful Counter-Strike players, like Heaton, Karn, Spawn, Forest. You know, like the list is very long, right? Get Right, like the list is very long for legends of Swedish Counter-Strike. So that also helps pave the way for something. Like, I remember I could buy a Heaton burger at McDonald's when I was like 12. I could buy a Nip burger, ninjas in pajamas, you know? And that goes a long way, you know? So Swedish esports was good. And Danish the same. It's like you have like the Danish players, Froggen, you know, Froggen was a big one. It's like most Danish players, when they talk about someone they looked up to, whether it's Bjergsen, you know, I would be very surprised if anyone else said anyone but Froggen, right? And that paved the way for something. And then that's definitely it, right? That also helps along the way. Old man, why teams keep picking Kalista and giving her no prior than expect different results when Zeri Jinx get to 30 minutes unharassed? That's a good question. I think there's definitely a lot of players out there that shouldn't be playing Kalista. It's the same. It's like some players shouldn't be playing Lee Sin. It's not like about the player. It's more about the team. It's like you don't have that level of execution to really utilize Kalista's strengths well. Because it's very punishing if you don't. It's like the chances that you miss with Kalista are, in a lot of cases, very big mistakes. And same thing with Lee. It's like, to play Lee good, you need to be able to teamfight really fucking well, insanely well. You cannot be wrong in your decisions, because if you fall behind somehow in terms of tempo, because your clear speed is shit, you become extremely weak in the game. And also, finally, you need to understand why Lee is as good as it is. It is in the world where you look and search for information without posturing to fight and really pushing the limit of you not being able to get caught. Did you see Jose Diodo Lee last weekend? I saw half a game, but that game seemed to be lost for many reasons. Hey coach, thoughts on the fans overreacting to our slow start, and if the negative response has any impact on the team or yourself, and a quick message to overreacting negative fans. I think it's important with everybody, I think it's important to remember that the fan base has a wide variety of personalities, and these personality traits tend to be louder in certain moments of a team. It's like when a team is doing bad, that's when some of the teams that can be some of the fans that are quite critical show up. When things are good, there's a different set of fans, and you know, this is just a question of timing overall. I personally, I'm very happy when fans attack me. as silly as it might sound. So I am happy when it happens to me, because that's one less bullet that goes in the direction of people that I care about and want to protect from it. So for on my end, I don't care. I don't care. And I don't mean that in like a negative way, right? Because obviously I care about what the fans think, and it's important to maintain the right perception. But in the end, the most important thing for me is to focus on the team and do what I believe is best. And there's a reason I am here, and there's a reason that fans are at home, right? We all have our own responsibility in this, and I need to focus on mine. And if I put myself in a position where I am a public personality, right? I'm in the public sphere, I am on Twitter, I am currently doing a podcast where people have access to me. If I put myself in a position where I allow others to control even the slightest part of my mind, then I am doomed to fail. So often, if I'm looking at feedback, I'm trying to dissect and remove the emotional part of it and see if there's some sensible truth. And in that as well, to also have empathy for whatever the other person's perception is. Because in the end, some fans were very unhappy with our games. That's completely normal and acceptable. I don't think it was overreacting, because in the end, they don't have access to information, right? And I as a person, you know, I stated publicly that we had a very rough week, not only because of the stage matches, but because of our preparation and our practice. It's like I had two players on antibiotics, so our practice was not good. It just wasn't. And it was very hard for us. And we couldn't do all of the things that we wanted to do because our level during the Super Week was not good. This is what I stated in interviews. And then, you know, it was just a bit disappointing that you do an interview and then people read the headline and then that's it, you know? And it was surprising that people would go so far to call me a liar, that I would lie about players being sick. Would there be like some grand conspiracy? No, we were not playing well. We needed to practice. Couldn't practice well because we were sick. And then hand in hand, it also affected our stage performance. Because in the end, the most important thing would be to practice and to work on the things that we did wrong during the Super Weekend. And we didn't have the proper opportunity to do so. And in the week following that, we indeed had still some sick players, but they were capable and willing to go through the practice motion and give it their all, which I'm very happy about, you know? So this 2-0 weekend feels good, you know? I think what feels the best about it is just the progress. Progress feels amazing, you know? Like if we, for some reason, lost one of these games, I wouldn't mind. You know, we progress as a team, and that's the main thing. We are improving, getting better, and I can't ask for more. That feels amazing, you know? It feels really good. And as a final note, like there's some fans out there that overreact and so forth, and there's definitely fans that overreact in the other way too. It's like now, I'm sure there are fans out there, we beat G2, people are ready to say, yo, we're winning the world championship, you know, which is in itself, that part is okay. You know, as a fan, the only way to really enjoy it's to, like in my mind, if you want to enjoy like a sport, you need to be a little bit irrational. Right? Like if you want to be like a fan of something, you need to be a bit irrational. You need to be a bit emotional. Like this is the time of the day where you allow yourself to get stupid. Right? This is your hobby. This is the where you're looking for enjoyment. And that's okay. So in the end, I don't mind, you know? What changed between week 2 and 3? After week 2, this team was super shaky. His weak sickness was the sole reason for it. As I've already explained this, I hope my previous answer helps you. Ziz asks, is the first split without a jungle change? Why? Because it wasn't necessary. Plain and simple. And I think people need to stop associating me with past Fnatic seasons because I had nothing to do with them. I just don't. It's weird to me. It's like, you know, after we lost to G2, people were very upset, right? And understandably so. But in my tenure in Fnatic, I am 2-1 against G2 in best of fives. And I'd say that the first one that we won was more important than the one that we lost now. Because we kicked G2 out of Worlds, right? And in my mind, that's a very big deal. But the short-term memory is very strange. Not a big fan of that. So I'm 2-1 in my tenure against G2. Even in the last split, we beat G2 once, right? Benny asks, why Fnatic team does not interact with their fans in the studio or outside or anywhere? I believe we do plenty of content, right? I am interacting right now as much as I can. I'm interacting with you. At the studio, I pushed for... I pushed for the idea of not doing fan meets. The reason being is, like, I have a group of guys that tend to get sick a little bit easier than others. And while there's currently, like, a pandemic lurking, and even after the first Super Week, right, there was someone in the crowd that got sick, and then this person made someone sick. Like, for example, like, Gen X had to sit out, right, and he had COVID confirmed. And for me, on top of that, you know, as I mentioned before, it's like we have players that are also sick, right? That's also a big part of it. It's just trying to limit our exposure to any additional risk, and that's the main focus. You know, it's just not worth it. I'm sorry, but these are some of the compromises that I have a hard time, you know, making. Fnatic, I'll stand by you. I feel like Sens was the missing part. He fits so perfectly in the group. It's nice to see you not alone in the washroom anymore, but surrounding seems more happy and efficient. The players are more united. The staff too. We can feel how better everything is this split. Now for sure. I'm enjoying this man. I believe he's gymming and he's listening to music, so he doesn't hear me talk right now, but I'm having a very good time working with Sens. He brings a very fresh perspective, and he can highlight a lot of the things that sometimes you can take for granted, and even remind me of some of the things that I care about and I believe in. And I believe now everyone in the staff is putting in a lot of effort to make sure that we are, you know, all more involved, because it did indeed feel lonely. And then at some point, I become very closed off in the way I work, and I am working very hard to not make this mistake and to be more inviting and to allow everyone to really get their hands dirty, you know, and for us to support each other. It's like that, there's like this picture of five men sitting around a table with very long spoons, and they couldn't, with these spoons, basically at one table, everyone tried to use these long spoons to feed themselves, and it didn't work. But then the other table realized that, oh, with these long spoons, we could just feed each other, right? And who's the guy in the back? Well, the guy in the back is the person I'm talking about. That's Sense. That's Sense. That's our performance coach, psychology extraordinaire. Also, energy sensei is what I call him. Sorry that we're sponsored by Hisense. Nevertheless, he does fit very well in the group. Everyone's taken a liking to him, and I'm happy. I'm happy to have him. It's been very good. Jacob asks, talk about the political and economic state of the world. Yeah, I feel it's weird because all systems are terrible. There doesn't seem to be any system that we can really believe in. And with time, it feels like humans are just inherently flawed. Very flawed. Very flawed. And I think since humans are flawed, they create flawed systems. It's like the political systems are flawed. It's like you have a two-party system where somehow in America, right, you can put money to back candidates. And for sure, there's a lot of money involved in politics, and somehow that is allowed. Somehow senators and they can trade stocks when they know what kind of legislation is going to be passed, and they have relationships with businesses, and it's completely ridiculous. And you can be a sitting senator for ages. And you can just have that position and you can maintain that position because money is such a snowball effect and it's just so fucked. Money is also such a system that is flawed. It's like they just can decide to print some more and all the money that I've made in my lifetime just becomes less and less worth because there's more of it. And it's backed by nothing besides the belief that other people believe that it's worth something. That's like what paper is. And in the past, paper money came from, paper money was just proof of, yo, I'm gonna create a bank, okay? This bank, I'm gonna create a bank system. Basically, I'm gonna keep other people's gold. And then I will print out notes that is proof of that gold. And I will take like a little commission because I'm protecting their gold, keeping it safe. And also, they are capable of selling these notes to others. So let's say I wanted to buy a horse. Instead of bringing whatever metals, whatever, I just had a piece of paper. Yo, you can pick up the gold at Goldman's Bank or something like this. Okay? And this is where paper notes came from. And at some point, they decided to just remove everything that these notes backed for. And now it's just backed by the belief of use cases. So it's backed by nothing. It's just a piece of paper that people believe in, right? And the monetary system is inherently flawed. A lot of problems with it. Political systems, inherently flawed. Housing markets, stock markets, flawed. Everything flawed. It's just propped up and at some point it will fail and it will collapse. And the main thing is the people that are in power and the people that have a lot of money will survive. And the rest of us will get fucked. So with this in mind, I'm trying to think of it less. I'm trying to enjoy what I see in front of myself. I'm trying to enjoy just what I'm doing now. I'm trying to enjoy people. Because in the interactions that we have with people and what we do, the flawed parts of humans is what makes it fun. On that level, human beings being flawed is very fun. It's the same. It's like in the past, I was like, oh, human beings, it's like the way the world is, it's just perfect. And like, there's some design flaws in how the human anatomy is too. It's like, imagine you have a cough, you get slime when you're sick, and then the slime goes in your throat, you have to cough more, and then it's just a cycle. It's like, why the fuck is my body producing this phlegm? Like, can't there be like a better system of keeping shit clean in my system or something, you know? Or let's say you bite your tongue. What happens when you bite your tongue? It swells up. It swells up, my man. And what happens when something swells up in your mouth and you just bit it? You gotta bite it again. Flawed. So, you know, it is what it is. And in my mind, I just try to enjoy human interactions, try to enjoy what I do, try to just stop and smell the roses a lot more often than anywhere else. Can that guy from Twitter get his free merch? If I get some money, on Gehenna's, that would be nice. Why does it feel that the game is so fast aside in this season? I feel it's so unlikely to come back from goal deficit, especially in laning phase. I think it's because the game hasn't changed so much over the last years. And the idea of how to win games is something that has become very streamlined. So a lot of teams are getting better and better at just stacking dragons and putting themselves in positions to just win the game. You don't necessarily need to, you know, do something crazy to win games. And I think the player base on average has gotten better, and also games, the game hasn't changed a lot. It's like Damwon won the World Championship, right? And then EDG won the World Championship, and the meta and how the game is being played is exactly the same. It's like, it's just, you can't see that much of a difference between the finals. EDG, like Damwon versus, who did they play in the final when they won Worlds? Why am I blanking on it? Suning. EDG, like Damwon versus Suning, and then EDG versus, of course, yeah, EDG RNG was definitely a really good best of five. Adam asks, do you think it's important to build your brand as a coach, stream, social media, etc.? I don't think it's important as a coach, but it's important as a person. I don't know what's coming my way, right? The sad reality is I don't know if where I'm going to be working next year. I don't know. I really don't know. I wish I knew, because it would let me rent an apartment. It would let me, you know, have some stability in my life, because currently, like, I am staying with Ivan, right? And I'm putting my life on hold, because I can't be, like, renting an apartment. And then turns out that, you know, Fnatic doesn't re-sign me or something like this, right? And then that's it, you know. It would just be not responsible. So I need to kind of, you know, just hedge my bets a little bit, you know. I need to keep busy. Dave Arrows asks, are there any certain age of time or movie you would like to have lived in? Ready Player One? But only because of the game, not because of what is what the dystopian world is. XL asks, is there any thoughts about climate change in the LEC, thinking especially about the plane flights? Hello, Astralisol and the weekly plane. Bro. Bro, the thing is, there is such big factors that companies have found a way to guilt trip the everyday person into thinking that they can make a change about climate change, when the largest corporations are just single-handedly just fucking the world. That is, the climate change marketing has been so bad. So bad. Terrible. The marketing for climate change is just terrible. So bad. They've made it so unsexy. It's like if climate change like climate change doesn't like doesn't say to anyone the end of mankind. So we have to protect the planet. No, bro, the planet will be okay. The planet will feel better when humans are extinct. So the marketing is just shit. So no one gives a fuck about the planet. You can't as a human understand that you're like standing on this ball, right? That is Earth, that is so massive. You can't comprehend that. You can, like most people, you can't just comprehend their own mortality and barely even that. So the marketing is just shit. CEO of Trondheim Support, can we dance with the animal team level 1? Come on, man. It's a no-go. LPL Gaslighter asks, how handsome our jungler is. He is gorgeous. Someone asks why Gumayushi is a fraud. What the fuck? Wonder 2 meters feet. He has 2 meter feet. I didn't know about that. Hello, Rux. Sense is indeed very gorgeous. How are things going for you, man? You gotta stop posting so good food on Twitter, Ruben. It's not allowed. You know the catering that we are dealing with here. You guys want to play LEC and we go to Spain? You want to trade? We just take over the Superliga. Yeah, it's the same as last year. One week only? We trade? I don't think we're allowed to, actually. I think the LEC players are not allowed to play in the ERLs. There's like a limit. Unfortunate. Honestly, our office is pretty fucking decent now.
You guys are the last people here, by
the way. Alright. All good then. See you. Yeah. I think that's it for this episode of Voice of Maro. I think you guys should have seen Dado dance yesterday at the party. He would instantly come to Spain. Yeah, he sent me a picture of him and Jizuke. That was quite neat. I miss Jizuke. I haven't been watching his games, though. I have some catching up to do. Can you do further commenting on why Razak was your favorite Fnatic player? When did I say that Ivan is my favorite Fnatic player? And why the heck he plays upset last? What? What are you talking about? Where are you getting this from? This is trying to set up some shit, man. Why? Question mark. Bro, you're trying to bait me. I love all my players equally, man. I don't play favorites. I genuinely like everybody super much. Even now, I'm gonna go get some steak with Elias. Can we get a Hilly Yamato fisting stream? What? Fishing. The fishing stream. Check this good dude. Okay. What's the other one? Last tournament in Malmö, I remember a CSGO tournament, 2018, Fnatic beat Vitality in the finals to win it all. That sounds perfect. Bro, I have so much relatives in Malmö. My family would be there.
Are you a medium rare guy?
The better the cut, the bloodier I order it. So, very expensive steak, I order it, I eat it like blue, you know? When it's a cheaper cut, then I go like rare, medium rare. And then that's it. Okay. I think that's it for me. Maybe I'll stream later and we watch some videos together. Would be nice. I just opened up Battle.net. And I see Vander is playing Diablo 3. What a chump playing Diablo 3. Playing Blizzard games. Come on. Come on, lads. Shit. Let's raid Razog. Oh, I am thinking of taking a 1 year break from League Esports when the Riot MMO is coming out. Like, that is gonna be my life, I think. I want to fully commit to it and play it all the way. I kind of wish, you know, I hope that when I retire, I can turn into Asmongold. I wish I could just react to things and comment on things and just play games. And he's a bit of an inspiration. What a chill dude. He's just being himself. Like Asmongold doesn't mind that he's balding. I don't mind when I'm balding too, right? I don't mind. I want to become Asmongold. Just go full Asmongold. And make a shitfuck ton of money. I just want to have enough money to just eat good, sleep good, and that's it. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate that you have showed up. Is that Hilly in the background or that sense? What do you mean you retire? Not retire, I would take like a year break to play Riot MMO. Just destroy all of the content, become the best blade dancer in the world, and then just smurf it. But don't worry, I'm going to win Worlds in Elysee this year. And then maybe add another Worlds title. So we have three here under the black and orange. So we have the same amount as T1. And then maybe I can get a ward skin. Would be be nice to have a Yamada Cannon Watt skin. I see all of the players saying a year break, calling it retirement, but yeah, but I'm coach. I literally don't do anything, so. True, I suppose. Yeah. Sure. All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.